Graham Curry joining us with your national headlines.
Thanks, Darren. Young Canadian environmentalists have challenged Federal Environment Minister Peter Kent and Canada's top climate change ambassador, Guy Saint-Jacques, to debate key points of climate policy and international negotiations. The invitation follows revelations that internal government documents circulated prior to the most recent International Climate Change Conference dismissed young environmental activists as uninformed and underengaged. This stance has prompted outrage among environmental groups across Canada, who claim that this represents yet another case of the federal government ignoring and belittling dissenting voices while disrespecting major contributions that young Canadians have made to environmental causes. A spokesman for Minister Kent was quick to stress that the minister did not prepare the briefing notes personally and does not believe that young Canadians are uninformed. Neither Kent nor Saint-Jacques has accepted the debate challenge to date. Environment Canada has published its annual greenhouse gas inventory and estimates this week, announcing mixed news about the future of emissions across the country. Current estimates put Canada 19% above emission targets set for 2020 under Prime Minister Stephen Harper's 2009 International Climate Change Commitment. While this forecast is an improvement over last year's estimate, which showed Canada overshooting by 29%, Environment Canada was unable to show any improvement in the estimate due to federal government policies. The bulk of the improvement was due to cap-and-trade policies instituted in Quebec only, and changes to the way forests are accounted for as carbon sinks in the country. In the press conference announcing the current Environment Canada estimates, Minister Peter Kent reaffirmed the government's stance in avoiding emissions limits or targets for the oil sand industry in Alberta, despite the projection that the industry will be the fastest-growing source of emissions nationwide, growing from 32 million tons of carbon dioxide equivalent in 2005 to an estimated 104 million tons in 2020. Peter Kent indicated that the government is unwilling to threaten jobs or economic growth in order to reach its own modest emissions reduction target. And those are your national headlines. I'm Graham Carey.
We're now joined by Leah Mazzolini with your international headlines.
Thanks, Darren. The Amazon rainforest is about to get much smaller. Brazil sets its sights on major development in the world's largest tropical forest. An area about seven times the size of France will be used to make way for 21 new dams, a cost of about $48 billion U.S. Brazil's president, Dilma Rousseff, says that this move is crucial to meet the energy demands of their booming consumer market. However, the country's rooted environmental movement has shown its disapproval for the project. Former environment minister and founder of the Green Movement, Marina Silva, says that thousands of years' worth of resources are priceless, and the government is bargaining it for only a few decades of profit. The movement stresses that the Amazon is home to one-eighth of the planet's fresh water, a primary source of its oxygen, and is the foundation to an ecosystem that holds a plethora of undiscovered plant and animal life, as well as tens of thousands of aboriginals. So far, the weather story of the year has been the U.S.'s hot temperatures, and now NASA's new study uses temperature records to make the climate change connection. The temperature data, rather than prediction models, are used to show the global warming is to blame for the recent spell of wild weather. This includes last year's droughts in Texas and Oklahoma, the 2010 Russian heat wave, and the European heat wave of 2003. Top NASA scientist and author of the study, James Hansen, clarifies that they aren't using models or predictions, but hard evidence to determine that climate change is the driving force to cause these extreme weather anomalies. Temperatures of today's summers were juxtaposed to summers between 1951 to 1980. They concluded that extreme heat only covered less than 0.2% of the planet. Now, this type of heat covers 10% of the Earth's land area. In a new book, the United Nations Food Agency urges wealthy countries to change their diets drastically for both social and environmental reasons. Jointly published with Bioversity International, the book, simply titled Sustainable Diets and Food Biodiversity, highlights that over 900 million people in the world suffer from hunger. 1.5 billion are obese or overweight, and about 2 billion suffer from micronutrient malnutrition. These deficiencies include vitamin A, iron, and iodine. According to Food and Agriculture Organization, only corn, wheat, and rice currently provide 60% of the dietary intake of plants at a global level. They also point to the relationship between richer nations and diets rich in meat, dairy, fats, and sugar. The book also claims that the world's overdependence of certain crops are shrinking plant and animal genetic diversity. Furthermore, out of the 45,000 species examined by the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, more than 17,000 are currently threatened with extinction. And that's all for the international news. I'm Leah Mazzolini.